Hey everyone, Dr. Josh Hant here with Lifestyle Locker Radio. You're listening to episode 208.
Hi, I'm Dr. Josh Hant, and I want to welcome you to Lifestyle Locker Radio. It is here where we talk all things lifestyle, from fitness to nutrition, peak performance to longevity, awesome relationships to inspirational stories. We take you on an amazing journey to all things life and lifestyle. Enjoy the ride. And for today's guest, if you want to learn more than they're going to tell you on this show, I urge you to scroll down, check out the show notes to get a detailed bio and everything you need to know about our guest today. We also encourage that you comment, review, and share this show if you are enjoying it from wherever and whenever you're listening. Lastly, we encourage you to check out all the links that we provide in the show notes. They are there for you, for your health, for your lifestyle. We ultimately want you to unleash your human potential. So dive into this episode. We'll see you on the inside. Here we go. This is the Race to 100 Part 2, the Yeti 100 Mile Ultra Endurance Run. So in this episode, I'm going to break down everything from pre-race to the finish line. Yes, I did complete the race. We'll get into more details as we go. This is an adventure that I want to take you all on. It is nothing like anything I've ever experienced. As you know, I've been into this ultra running now for a few years, and this was my second 100-mile attempt, my first 100-mile finish. The longest distance I had ever ran before was 52.4, so a double marathon. And this race was a little different and had some similarities to earlier races I've done in my, we'll say, my running career as a runner. So let's start. I'm just going to get some notes in front of me because I wanted to take some notes so we can share with you. I'm not sharing the note page with you. It's all hand scribble, but I want to make sure I hit all these points because it's so powerful. So, you know, heading down to the race to drive, long drive, not long story short, I get to my place where I need to check in, and the prep the night before, where I realize I have to get up at about 3:30 in the morning. The race start time is 5 a.m. and they don't want us showing up early. They want us pretty much to show up at 4:55 so we can just get there and start running. They don't want the crowds. They don't want all the stuff going on. Due to the climate of everything with COVID-19. So ultimately, I just wanted us to get there, show up, and run. So all right, I'm like, whatever. I usually like that pre-race, you know, hang out and have a good time and get amped up with everybody. But we didn't have that, and that's all right. So I get to sleep. I was exhausted. I get to sleep. You know, prepping everything was quite freaky for me because I'm like, okay, you know, Meredith's not with me. I'm solo. I don't have any crew. So I don't have anybody specifically there to help me, give me aid, right? Like I am my own aid, if you will. There were aid stations there for food and hydration and all of that stuff. Thank God. So I packed this tub, this little plastic tote. It's probably, I don't know, probably weighed about 20 pounds is my guess with everything. I mean, I had headlamps, extra headlamps. I had all my food. I had granola I made. All this awesome, amazing stuff. I had really good stuff. I had all my nutrition in there. I had stuff that was designed for the late night because we were starting at 3:30 in the morning, but we were also going to be going potentially for 30 hours. So that I had to be ready to push through the whole night. So to be up for 30 hours straight, and let alone 30 hours straight, but 30 hours of nonstop moving. So I prepared a couple things called exogenous ketones, which are things that help your body burn fat, get into ketosis very quickly. That had some caffeine in it. So what it does, it helps me focus. It helps people focus. It helps clarity, but also the caffeine would help keep me going. So I have all this stuff prepped and packed. I'm up at 3:30 in the morning. First thing I do is meditate, visualize what it's going to be like coming across that finish line, hoping and praying that that's what I'm going to be doing. I want to make it across this finish line. I trained hard for this. I registered for this race, you know, a long time ago. I made it into the lottery to the Yeti 100, and I want to finish. I really just want to get across that finish line. I was telling people, like, think and pray of the number 2239 or 2339. And the reason I said that, or 2259, I can't even talk right now. Holy cow. 2359, 23 hours, 59 minutes. I wanted people to put that number out to the universe for me. You know, think of this, think positively, think this number, and think it because of this. Because if I can get under 24 hours, I get this really cool belt buckle that's hand painted. It's gorgeous, really cool. And in the ultra community, getting a belt buckle for finishing a race is pretty cool. Like, it's like, wow, you did something pretty amazing. And it's like a trophy. A belt buckle is a trophy in the world of ultra running, completing these insane events. So I meditate on this. I get dressed, you know, get my nerves out a little bit and make sure I take every single thing with me. Okay, I got both headlamps. I got my lights. I got my vest is prepped. I got my food. I got my snacks. I had a cup of, went downstairs, had a cup of coffee. And then I got in the truck and drove about a mile and a half to the parking area where I had to leave my truck. And that was about a quarter mile, maybe not that much, but close to a quarter mile to the start of the race. And I was right, my truck was right along the trail. So I should have pre-thought this as I was going, but I did not. So I carried my bin, and I'm going to paint the scenario for you. So it's pouring. It is beyond pouring, raining. I hear the rain on the roof as I'm leaving. I go outside and it's not just like a drizzle. It is full on raining heavily. And I'm thinking, oh my God, let me just check the radar as I'm getting ready to leave the place. I get to see like the radar for the first 6 hours or whatever it is. And I mean, the radar showing red and green and yellow and storms and wind. I'm like, oh, it's going to rain a lot. So that just adds another challenge, another physical challenge, but also mental challenge, because it is quite draining. No pun intended, quite draining running in the rain when every single inch of you is wet. So I get out, I'm wearing a raincoat, a hat, long sleeve shirt underneath because it's just shy of 60 degrees, t-shirt under that. I have running compression, three-quarter length leggings on, and my sneakers. With, of course, my American flag socks, which always get comments. Always get comments. I also have my race vest. I did run with American flag as well on my vest. So, park, get the bin, and start walking with this bin to put it where all they call these their drop bags. And the bin or drop bag, what it means is if you need to get stuff, need to replace your shoes or whatever you put in there, you have access to this when you're passing the main aid station, which is the main headquarters of the race. So I had the option to go in and do things. And the things that I keep in there that are super important, like I said, is the nutrition, is the headlamp swap from, you know, morning to evening, is, you know, so many different things. Just think of like anything I would need for. I had extra socks in there. I had a jacket in there. I didn't have extra shoes because I only had one pair of trail shoes with me. I didn't bring two pairs, which is all right. So I get going. They start the race right away. Boom, we start. I'm wearing a jacket, like a thin roll, raincoat, if you will, but like a light raincoat, and we start the run. And the warning we got, and I may have mentioned this in the previous episode, the warning we got in an email before is realize the first 14 miles out are uphill. It's a slow, steady grind, and it doesn't feel like anything, which means the 14 miles you're coming back down the mountain are going to be downhill. So the warning is be careful that you don't PR, meaning get a personal record for your, you know, for your first 50 miles or 50K or both, and then get wrecked the remainder of the race because you just ran so fast downhill because you just felt great on the warm up. So I was thinking about this and I'm going up. I mean, it is like running through puddles. I mean, it's disgusting out. You're running with a headlamp on. So the first 2 hours of our run are in the dark, running in the rain, in the, maybe even a little bit of fog at this point from point to point. But it was just a mess, just a complete mess. Just picture running on a trail in the rain, the pouring rain. So I'm going. I don't really look at my pace on my watch. I got my headlamp on, and it's hard to really look at my watch and check things out as I'm going. So I just kept a comfortable pace. I get up to the top. I get up to the aid station. I don't even go to the aid station. I just make bust a U-turn, start going back down. And holy cow, like on the way up, I got to chatting with another guy that was on the trail, and we were just talking. It kept made the run a little easier, those first 14 miles. I know it sounds crazy, but those first 14 miles seemed easy as we were going, I guess because the mentality of pushing for 114 should be easy at this point. So we were just chatting about life, family, like cool things, like just to keep our heads going as we were going up the mountain. And we ended up running back down the mountain, and I said, hey, let's not like overdo it, because I feel like my pace is way too fast. I shouldn't be pushing this hard. You're more than welcome to go, but I'm going to start to slow things down because I really want to finish this race. That is my goal. I want to finish before 30 hours. I really want to finish before 30 hours, and if I can get sub 24, even better. So this guy's Bob. We're running downhill, and they have all of these different trestles, right? I have all of these different trestles there. And I said, how about we just walk the trestles? Let's just do that, because there were so many. I think we went over like maybe 10 on the way up or 15 on the way up and like 10 or 15 on the way down. So we would run, walk, run, walk, run, walk. And it just became a really good pace. And our pace was still pretty good. And then eventually when we started to do after that, we said, hey, listen, because it's still pouring rain. Let's run and we'll just call out to each other. You know, like we'll run for 3 minutes. Walk for a minute, run for 3 minutes, walk for a minute. And we did this nonstop. We did this for the first 50 miles, right? We did it for 50K. I checked my time. I had texted Meredith, my wife. I just PR'd my 50K by multiple hours, not like minutes, by multiple hours. And I was getting like nervous. I'm like, okay, wow, I probably should not have done that. And then we get to 50 miles. And it was pretty, pretty crazy. So as we're going, and you know, as I get there, like I really need to make sure I'm hydrating. I had water in my, I had my bladder in my back. So I had 2 liters, to give you an idea. So it's called a race vest. If you Google it, it's a race vest. Mine is called Ultimate Direction as a brand. But I had 2 liters of water in the back in a Camelback style bladder. Mine is actually a Camelback brand. And 2 bladders on the front, small little chest bladders that hold a half a liter each. So picture almost a full gallon of liquid that I'm running with for the first 30 miles. Granted, I started to sip down my water and I had to replace my electrolytes that were in the front. There was so much, I was running with so much weight. I had granola in multiple pockets, I had other nutrition. So I was probably wearing every bit of like 15 pounds during this run. So I realized as I'm going, I hit mile 50 and I can't even get to my nutrition because I don't want to open the plastic bags up because I know it would just get soaked and it ruined the granola, would just be mush and nasty. And it's good because it was, you know, it's dry, it's crunchy, it was just really good granola. And so I opted to eat whatever they were offering. And, you know, I'm being the health guy, it was a hard thing for me not to bring my own food. So I said, screw it, I'm going to go. I'm just going to eat whatever they have at the aid stations. Everything's prepackaged, wrapped in plastic, blah, 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 blah. So they had these things called Uncrustables, which I think they market to kids. They're like these peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. Obviously not very healthy, but they have no crust on them. They're prepackaged, like little, I don't even know, size of a donut or something. So, I mean, loaded with sugar, loaded with calories, and some protein and some fat. So granted, not ideal for me, but I tell you what, I started eating these. As I was going, I had shots of pickle juice. I had pickles. I had all sorts of cool stuff. And we'll get into it, but I had like, you know, soups and things like that as we were going. So I ended up ditching my granola because it was heavy just to lose some weight. So when we get to, you know, we get to about mile 50, I start to lose my buddy, Bob. He's like, listen, my feet are soaked. To give you an idea, so we had it at 14 miles out, 14 miles back, so it's 28 miles, and then we had 4 18-mile loops, 18 mile are called out and backs. So on this big wide trail, we had to go out to a point that which was marked over this huge, really cool railroad trestle bridge over a river, They had a big sign. We had to make a U-turn and come back. So it was 9 miles out, 9 miles back. And we had to do that four times. So I did one with Bob. And he's like, listen, my feet are shot right now. I need to change my shoes. I need to change my socks. We were walk running at the time. And I said, listen, I'm going to keep moving. Oh, if you can catch up, awesome. I'd love to keep going with you. If not, I'm just going to keep going. Listen, we each need to run our own race. We each need to do our own thing. And completely understood. So I just kept going and ended up not seeing him. I thought I might kept on see, I might see him. I walked a little slow to eat to maybe let him catch up. But he didn't at this point. So I kept on going. I kept on moving, kept on trucking, doing my run walk thing nonstop. And I get to, let's see, maybe mile 60-ish. I hit that main aid station again, see whatever number it is. And I am feeling like absolute hell. And I'm like, oh my God, they were right in the email. They're right in the email. I feel like hell. I have 40 more miles to go. You know, I started to get like this poopy headspace and still soaked. It stopped, finally stopped raining at mile 60, which feels great. But I'm running in a, I lost the raincoat after the first few miles because it was so hot. And I've been running in a wet, two wet shirts with a race vest and my compression shorts and air compression leggings on. And I was just cold. I was miserable. And I was just feeling like, I was feeling everything you probably should feel at 60 miles of a trail run in the pouring rain. And I mean, everything is soaked right through. Like I felt like a, AKA like a wet rat, you could have called me at this point. And I ended up, you know, getting rid of, like I said, my granola. I ended up getting rid of my race bladder in the back. I'm like, this thing's too heavy. I don't need it. So all I ended up running with was my two race bladders on the front, some food, some light snacks. Like I had chlorella and spirulina in my race vest, which weigh ounces, if that much. So I ran with those. And at the aid station, it's mile 60. I knew that it was going to be getting dark soon. So I'm like, all right, on this next 18 mile loop, I'm going to be running, definitely gonna be running in the dark on the, like near midway up. So I'd have at least 15 miles possibly of dark. So I make sure I have my headlamp and I went to my tub. I had what we call ultra brain. My brain wasn't thinking totally clearly. And this is where having a crew is really nice. I said, I forgot to grab my other headlamp, my second headlamp, but I already had one on my head and I leave the aid station. I'm like, you know what? I'm not going back. This is fine. I have one on my head. I have my handheld flashlight in my pack. And I end up, you know, moving out, walk running. And I end up, this one guy goes, hey man, you mind if I, you know, I kind of pace along with you here. And his name is Tommy. And I'm like, sure, dude, let's just do this. Let's just run, walk. That's what I'm doing. And if you're more than welcome. And we are like, all right, we agreed to run our own races, but we'll do our best to encourage each other to move forward. And so we started doing our run, walk. And the sun started going down. As the sun started going down, I'm like, great, no problem. Listen, I have my ultralight headlamp here. We'll light the way, like while it's like twilighty now. Save yours as we go. So I go to turn mine on. It doesn't turn on. It like flashes on and off. And when I hold the button down, I'm like, oh crap. And then I realize I cracked the frame of it at some point. I don't remember when. Glued it, but I ran with it on my head for the first 60 miles. So it had raindrops that probably seeped in and short the button out. So I didn't have a headlamp as it's starting to get dark and I'm going to have about 15 miles of pitch black in the middle of the woods, you know, trying to run. So thank God that buddy Tommy was here. I used his headlamp. I stayed within a distance of him so I could see the ground. And I ended up realizing I still have my handheld. So I took that out and I was able to run with that, even though it wasn't as bright, but it was enough to get me back to the aid station. And here's the crazy funny thing. So we're going out, it's mile, we're going from mile 60 or whatever it was, or I don't remember the exact numbers, but we're making our way back to the aid station and we're going to hit mile 82 at this point. So we're running for a bit with each other and we're complaining, we're in pain, we're uncomfortable. He's like, listen, I've done hundreds before. And he goes, I've had experiences where, you know, after 80, I get re-energized to go again, but I feel like crap now. And I was just feeling like crap for like 20 miles already. I'm like, oh, I gotta do this for more miles. So we were making our way. I don't remember if it was up or down on that 18-mile loop. And I said, listen, we need to start stretching. So we stretched on like a couple of cattle gates because you're running through some private properties of farms and you have to open up cattle gates to go through. But we had these trestles, these railroad trestles that were all, you know, redone with wood planks and railings and everything. So I said, let's stretch. We just got to stretch. So we'll grab onto the trestle because at this point our legs are shot. We didn't want to fall over, so we had something to hold on to. So he's on one end of the trestle. I'm on the other end, and he just starts dropping a couple, you know, awesome F-bombs. He's like, holy, you know, kids, you can imagine. And I'm like, dude, what's going on? And he shines his headlamp. I didn't have any headlamp. I didn't really have light anywhere. I was like in the darkness with my little handheld facing the floor. Right in front of him on one of the planks of the railing was a spider that was almost big as the palm of my hand. It was this massive, gnarly looking thing. It looked like it could eat a mouse. I'm like, holy crap. So I like picked up my lights, flashed it all over my place. Didn't see any. We kept stretching. So we're making our way down and we're complaining. We're like, all right, let's just see if we can, you know, run for like 25 paces or walk fast for 25 paces. And we started to come with all of these different scenarios to get us to move a little bit faster. Our feet were killing us. My feet were shot. And he's like, listen, when we get down there, I'm going to swap out my socks. I'm like, you know what? I do have a pair of socks. I wasn't planning on doing anything, but I'm going to swap out my socks. My feet are in so much pain right now. Walking hurt like everywhere. My left heel hurt. My right ankle hurt. My right knee hurt. The back of my left knee hurt. The good news is my back, my spine, my shoulders, my neck, everything felt good. My neck did feel a little stiff because you're constantly in the dark and on a trail run, you're looking down so you don't trip. So I constantly had to be conscious to stretch my neck, pause for a second, look up towards the ceiling or the sky, the black sky, the darkness, and just stretch it out. So, we're going and on the way down, going towards mile 82, I look at my watch for time of the race. And I'm like, oh, am I going to be able to make 30 hours? I really don't know if I'm going to make 30 hours. And I realize, I go, holy crap. I think I can actually make sub 24. So I just keep trucking in pain. Like I didn't even care at this point. And I end up losing time. I didn't realize I even lost him. But you know, we're in such a weird mental zone at this point. I just kept going. I didn't realize I actually lost him until, you know, maybe 20 minutes went by or 30 minutes went by. And I start to talk to him and he's not there. So I get to the aid station. I'm swapping out my socks. He shows up and he's like, oh man. He goes, listen, I got to tap out. I'm like, dude, you told me it's only 18 more miles once we get here. Don't let you do it. And he's like, dude, I made peace with myself. I'm tapping out. I've had it. My feet are shot. I'm burned out. I'm like, you sure? You sure you're tapping? I was like, yeah, I'm done. I'm done. I DNF'd it. I'm like, oh, I felt so bad for him. But see, I totally thought he was going to be there and we were going to probably cross the finish line together or really close to each other. So I lasso up my socks, actually get my new headlamp at this point, or my new one, my one that's waterproof, sealed, and ready to go with nice bright lights. I needed it to make it through the night to the next morning. So I get that. I have my handheld still burning pretty well. I leave. And at this point, I believe it's at this point that I ditched my long sleeve shirt because I felt cold. It was still like really wet. And my undershirt dried off right away because it stopped. It was not raining now for almost 20 miles. I felt warm. I felt good again. So I started trucking and realizing my legs hurt more than ever. So between mile 82 and 90, I was like giving myself the pity party. I'm completely by myself, going up or going the out way, right? Going out 9 miles for that 18 mile loop. I'm going out and like, I'm like, oh, I just want to finish. I don't even care at this point. I really, really, really don't care at this point what happens. I just want to finish this race. And, you know, the term I've used, it's called the pain cave, which has been shared by other people. But my God, I've been uncomfortable before. I've gotten injuries before. But being in this type of pain, aka the pain cave from running long, long distances, it's mental, it's physical, it's like emotionally draining. Like I almost wanted to cry. I was so uncomfortable. And I just said, you know what? I'm just going to keep moving. I just want to finish. And then I remembered passing this place that I call Tent City, which was just in the early stages of the 18-mile loop, like their first mile after the aid station where all people's crews were setting up. They were cheering for us. They were keeping us motivated and excited as we passed them, which was great to have that type of excitement. But what one guy was doing was holding a sign early in the race when it was light out under his tent. It said, the faster you run, the faster you're done. So on this last 18-mile loop, as I'm going up, I'm like, I kept on thinking that, but I really couldn't fathom finishing fast. I'm like, you know what? I'm just gonna make it up here. I'm just gonna make it to the top. I'm gonna turn around, I'll make it back. If I don't get sub 24, I don't really care. I just wanna finish. And then I kept on thinking, the faster you're done, or the faster you run, the faster you're done. So on my way up, and if you looked at my Strava and look at my Garmin Connect, you'd see what happened on one of my later miles. As I'm going up, I go to stretch on a trestle like I've been doing because my body is so sore. I'm moving slower and slower and slower. I fell asleep leaning on a trestle. I don't know for how long. I don't know if it was 30 seconds, a minute, whatever it was, but it felt like I had a full night's sleep for a second and startled myself and forgot where I was and what direction I was going in. But I knew I needed to keep going. And at that same point, thank God I opened my eyes. Again, guess what was right next to me within 2 feet? Was one of these monster spiders. It was a different trestle. So I scream and freak out. And like these two women running past me the other direction, I'm like, what's the matter? I'm like, holy shit, do you see this thing? And they were laughing. And then as I said that, I had my flashlight on them, my headlamp on them. This caterpillar, like the size of my pinky, like thick as my pinky with these silver and black spikes, comes crawling up over the top of the railing. I'm like, oh, geez Louise, what's next? Granted, I couldn't tell you if I was hallucinating or not at this point, but that thing was crazy looking. So I kept on going past the aid station, and then I had about a 1.7 mile out and back from the last aid station to get to the final leg back to the finish line. So, and in that, I'm going to hit that mile 90. So I passed, I'm like, oh, I'll take a shot of pickle juice. And in my head, I didn't realize how good I was doing, but you have to do 4 of these loops. People were on their second and third loops, and I was on my fourth, almost halfway done with the fourth loop. So I hit the top of the big bridge, which ends up being, I believe it was close to mile 90. Like I was right there, or really, really close. And I think it was mile 90. And I look at my watch and I go, holy freaking cow. I have 10 miles and I have 3 hours, something like 2 or 3 hours to make sub 24. Can I do 10 miles in 3 hours or something like that? Can I do that? Is that possible? Or whatever the number was. And I put my head down and said, you're going to do it. We're going sub 24. Screw the pain. Screw your headspace. You are going to do this. And Meredith texted me, and I can't say some of the words she said in the text around mile 60, but she goes, if you're broken, stop. If you injured yourself, stop. If you're in pain because of running, keep going. Don't be such a blank. Put some music on, get motivated, and finish what you started out to do. So on my way down, I don't like to run in headphones or anything that much when I'm doing these crazy races. I like to be aware of everything in my surroundings, especially at night. So I took my phone out, put on my EDM, my electric dance music mix. My phone was on airplane mode. I put it in on speakerphone, full volume, and I just start trucking back. And I realized I couldn't look at the time. I had to just look at my mileage and just say, all right, we're just going to put one foot in front of the other fast as we possibly can, walking. And we're just going to go. And you're just going to keep looking at the watch and you're going to chunk down mile by mile by mile. Don't look at the trail because all the markers are going to say like, well, you're not there. You're not far enough. So I ultimately just kept on looking at my watch every few minutes to go, great, another quarter mile, another quarter mile, another quarter mile. Boom, we're at 91. And they did this all the way. And as I started going and getting closer and closer, I realized the goal of hitting sub 24 was a reality. The excitement hit in. I wish the pain went away, but it did not. But the excitement hit in going, holy cow, I'm going to do it. And I get there. You know, I get to the finish line. People are cheering. It's 3:30 in the morning. And I go, I feel like I'm like, you know what? I want to run across this finish line. I really want to run across this finish line. And I hope they caught it on film. Hope the videographer caught it on film. I couldn't run for the life of me. I two legs that didn't want to work. My brain was mostly there. I was so excited. I get across the finish line, get a high five, and said, and the race director's like, dude, you crushed that. Here's the sub 23 or sub 24 belt buckle you earned. And here is the finisher's belt buckle. You get both. And he goes, you totally crushed that race. And I said, yeah, it crushed me too. And then he said, it's supposed to happen like that, isn't it? I said, yeah, I think it is. So I learned so much about headspace in this game, in that we can go so much farther, push so much more, go through so much more than we thought we could. The guy Tommy said something to me which was impactful. He, you know, I mentioned like, oh, I'm in the pain cave, and he goes, no, think of it as a pain tunnel. He goes, you will come out the other side. And then I had to think of it like that was good. And I had to think, like, I said, no, I think the pain cave for me is getting into that cave, beating up that bear of pain, and coming back out with the fur, with the hide, right? Like, so I'm got to come out, you know, stronger than before. So I finished the race. I'm pumped. I'm screaming. Yes. I walk over to my tub, realizing I now have to carry this 20-pound tub another quarter mile back to my truck. And oh my God, that sucked. So they were laughing, like, oh, you wanted to add more mileage to your run? I'm like, yeah, thanks a lot. I totally didn't even think of this, of leaving it in my truck. So I get my stuff to the truck. I text Meredith. Meredith said, can you call? But she couldn't sleep. I call her on my drive back to where I'm staying, and I park my truck. I hang up with her, and my legs were so stiff and stuck that I could not take my foot off the brake pedal. I had to use two hands to lift up my leg to move it off the brake pedal. Then I also realized I'm covered in mud. I have to go about 20 plus stairs. I have to go like six up the entrance, and then I'll like 20 plus stairs to the second floor of this inn I'm staying at. And I had to take my shoes and socks off out here because they're filthy and I won't go inside with them. Even though it's 3:30 in the morning, nobody's gonna be awake, but still, I don't want to bring the dirt inside. So I rubbed the dry mud off my legs, slowly pulled my socks off, which was not an easy feat, leaning forward and bending my legs, and realized I've only been sitting for about, I don't know, 5 minutes at this point. My legs felt like cement and 2x4s with razors in certain areas cutting into my body because of the amount of pain. So I get the socks off. I throw flip-flops on. It takes me a few minutes to get out of the truck, and I'm laughing. I'm laughing at myself because how funny it must look if I could see myself from, you know, that third person looking at myself going, oh my God, this guy can't even move. So when I take off my socks, I see on the inside of my left. So if you're on social, maybe I'll share this with you. The inside of my left ankle by my heel, I had a blister so big, I'm going to gross you out for a second, that could have probably filled a shot glass halfway. That's how massive this thing was. And I had one that was more painful on the ball of the same foot, but it was the size of like a cap of a pen. But I guess a little rock may have done that, slowly weaseled its way in to create that blister. But I had these two massive blisters. Everything is swollen. Everything hurts. My right ankle looks like I broke my ankle. It's so swollen. Not black and blue, but it's super swollen. And finally make it upstairs, take a shower, which is another funny thing, trying to take a shower and bend over to wash my legs and the whole nine yards, and try to go to bed. Now it's 4 o'clock in the morning, staring at the ceiling. Getting in the bed is insanely hard. Trying to fall asleep is insanely hard. So I have tons of nutrition. I was taking like ginger and turmeric and all these natural things that are anti-inflammatory, quercetin, bromelain, turmeric. I already said turmeric, but nonetheless, I'm doing all this stuff so I can hopefully wake up in the morning. I've been super hydrated. I drank tons and tons and tons of water during the event. I drank more at night when I got back to to the inn, and I couldn't sleep. Because if any of you have ever broken a bone or gotten a really like insanely bad bruise somewhere in your body, like a nasty big black and blue from like falling or whatever it is, and you roll onto that and you feel like, you know, you just got punched again. That's what my whole lower half of my body felt like. So anytime I moved, it hurt and I couldn't sleep. I tried putting a blanket on me. The blanket put a little pressure on my feet, which put pressure on my ankles, which put pressure on my knees. I had to take the blanket off because it hurt too much. And it was just a nightmare. I think I slept. I looked at my Oura Ring over the course of 3:30 to like the next day, like that full next day. I think I slept a total of 3 hours and 36 minutes. It's not a lot of sleep. I tried my best. Absolutely tried my best. But nonetheless, I made it home, made it, you know, the next day. I was able to eat and recover. I'm recording this right now on a Monday, the day we're actually publishing it, as all my thoughts are mostly still fresh in my head. And I can tell you, I'm still hobbling around. I ended up popping that blister. The pain went away instantaneously. I actually popped both of them, drained them both, letting them air dry and heal up. But the pressure, taking that pressure off, saved me so much, so much. And I'm so grateful for the race director. I'm so grateful for the people that I got to chat with on my run. I'm grateful I've had some, met some cool people at the inn I was staying at that also ran the race, and she completed the race as well. Her name is Rachel. So we had a good time talking about conversations, talking about the event, and laughing at each other as we walk and move and try to go up and down stairs and the whole nine yards. So great experience. The only thing I wish I had was my crew captain there, Meredith, even though she would have been miserable in the rain, as she's done an event with me before in the rain, right? She's done it also in about 100 degrees as well. But she did, and my first marathon ever was during a nor'easter where it was 40 degrees out and rained 3 inches. So she's no stranger to the bad weather with me. And she said, I'll be fine in the rain because I've done this before. So I'm glad she motivated me. She kept me inspired to keep moving. I thought about her the whole time and thinking like what she would say. She's not one to say, you need to stop. She would never tell me that. And I appreciate her for that. She would say, keep going. Unless I have I broke something and I can't physically move, then I should stop and take care of myself. But she would never tell me to quit because I was tired, because I was uncomfortable, because I was in the pain cave, because I wanted to quit because I didn't think I could do it. She would never let me do that. She would inspire me to keep going. So I urge all of you, if you're going for after your first 5K, you're going after your first 10K marathon, whatever it is, make sure you have someone in your corner. Make sure you have someone in your corner that can help you, encourage you, motivate you, not be part of the pity party when you want to quit. Because that's your headspace. That's your headspace. That was my headspace. I wanted to quit, but I had to realize that I've done this before. I've been in discomfort before. It's okay. It's going to happen. It's part of the territory of growth. Pain is not something that's permanent. It's something you have to break through. And I can tell you that I finished my race in 22 hours and 37 minutes, which meant I kept a 13 minute and 34 second pace average for the 100 miles, which is faster. I wanted to do a 15 minute mile pace or just shy of that so I can get that sub 24. But again, I didn't care. I wanted to get 30. So I was able to finish. I was able to make it through. I got my belt buckle, 22 hours, 37 minutes. I came in 30th place overall, 24th male, I believe. To give you an idea how crazy it is, it was a pro that won the race. And this just totally inspired me because I had to walk run quite a bit at the end. And this guy ran the whole thing. I think he finished in 13 hours and change, which is like an 8-something minute mile for 100 miles. Every time I saw him, he was just running. Well, I guess that's his business. That's his job. He's a professional runner. But it was something to inspire me to go, holy cow, what else can I do? What's next? Granted, I'm not a professional runner. I don't get paid to run. But What's next? Can I push myself a little harder? Can we go a little faster? Can I do a little more distance? What's next? So I want to thank you all for listening to me babble about this amazing event. I know I stumbled a little all over the place during this recording, and I think that's all right because my brain is still coming back to, I did have a great meal today with my wife, a great dinner last night when I came home, and so I'm feeling good. I'm feeling recharged. My legs are feeling a little bit better. I'm still a little hobbly wobbly, and it's all right. I'm on the recovery train right now. Things are going to get better. I'm going to get my first adjustment a little bit later today, post-run. And I have to thank my buddy Todd Munsey. I forgot to say this. Pre-race, I drove to visit him in his practice, and I was able to get an awesome chiropractic adjustment before my event. And so between Todd and Beth, thank you guys so much for inviting me in to get me adjusted. It is definitely a part of my lifestyle schedule and my performance schedule as a runner and as a human being to make sure I'm getting my weekly adjustments. And that was an awesome adjustment, and I'm sure it had a huge impact on my run and on my performance and how fast I'm going to heal now. So thank you guys for that. So everybody have a great day, evening or night from wherever and whenever you're listening and or watching to this. I appreciate you all. Now go get after it. Go chase down your goals. I'll see you on the next episode. Bye-bye. All right, hold up. We know this episode is not totally over, but I want to let you know this, that this episode is brought to you by the 3065 Lifestyle Shift Program. So if you're liking what you're hearing, you ultimately want to get better at your fitness, your health, your life. This is not designed for the ultra marathoner in mind. This is designed for the person that wants to be held accountable for doing things daily so they can actually get results in their health and in their life. So the details on the 3065 will be in the show notes. Just got to scroll down and check them out. Now I can say thank you all again so much for being part of my journey, being part of Lifestyle Locker and listening. I appreciate you all. Have an awesome day. Bye-bye.